former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, hello. Welcome into the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday. Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Pritchard on the desk today as we welcome you in. Once again, this is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, as it is every single day. Pritch, I am on cloud nine today.
Nice.
Words cannot describe how good I am feeling because the Vegas Golden Knights,
right,
for the second time in their six-year history, are headed to the Stanley Cup Final, and they're going to win it this time. I can feel it. I really hope so, at least. And I can finally put to bed all of the Miami Heat tickets that I had for the series price in my bet slip. It was driving me nuts having to stare at them every single day, wondering the way that this thing was going to shake out. The Miami Heat make history, the second team ever headed to the NBA Finals as an 8 seed. Really, really special performance and win for them over the Boston Celtics, despite being an 8-point dog last night.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
First of all, Cloud Nine is a great place to be on.
It is.
Absolutely. I love it. Anytime you can get up there, do it. But no, it was remarkable, really. I mean, this series had everything. It really did. And the unexpected happened. I mean, I think the entire NBA playoffs have been unexpected. And so now we see an 8th seed, a team that underachieved all year long, really. I mean, injuries, you can throw that in. You can factor that in. But in crunch time, once they qualify for the playoffs, it's a new season, and they bought into that. And certainly now they punched a ticket to go to the NBA Finals. And I'm happy for you. I really am. Yesterday I felt bad after my hit. Because I said I'm rooting for Will Hill, and that ticket, I think it was, what, plus 800 for the Celtics to come back, win 4 in a row. But they did not do that, and I neglected your situation with all your Heat tickets. But congratulations, sir.
I appreciate you making up for it now. but that'll be an interesting conversation when we do have Will Hill on the program a little bit later on today, because he was sweating out a good 8-1 ticket. He also had Jason Tatum, I believe, 12-1 for MVP. And a lot of different investments that he had in the Boston Celtics, whether it was this game or moving forward to the NBA Finals. So feel for you, buddy. But at the same time, I have to just be happy for myself.
Absolutely.
For a second.
Absolutely.
But
do it.
You mentioned the regular season for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because they were, I mean, the worst offense in the league throughout the course of the year. They were the worst team against the spread.
Right.
And now we see them here in the playoffs, a record tying 9 outright wins as an underdog this postseason, 13-5 ATS here in the playoffs. They were 200-1 before that play-in game against Chicago. And remember, I mean, they're trailing with 3 minutes to go in that game. They probably shouldn't have even made the postseason to begin with. Go on this incredible run. And now I believe the longest odds, not the 200-1, but the 151 after they beat the Chicago Bulls, longest odds of any team to reach the NBA Finals since the merger. So what they are doing is historically special. It's a little unfortunate they have to go play a buzzsaw in the Denver Nuggets, who are very well rested coming off a sweep of the Lakers this past week. But it's really, really incredible what they've done here.
Yeah, you know, the Nuggets are in a great spot, first of all, because matchups are everything in the playoffs. Any sport, really, it's all about matchups and combinations or versatility if you have it. And both of these teams have it. You know, I think let's start with the Miami Heat and this run that they're on. I go back to making things simple when it comes to betting. I didn't bet the game 7, though, because I just couldn't get to a consensus on it. Mm-hmm. But to me, Miami has been simple and yet comfortable, right? The uncomfortable team all series long has been Boston or was Boston. So the thing about Miami, what I have identified, is how comfortable they get on the floor with whatever role, and every person that needs to step up steps up in a critical situation. So they might get Hero back. They're talking about game 3, which will add to the situation. But there's so much versatility and there's so many options offensively for this team that they can invest defensively. Think about how those contested shots for Boston, and how difficult it was because they wanted to shoot the 3. Mm-hmm. They wanted to shoot the rock instead of, you know, try to get to the rim or try to get inside the paint. But you make things simple that way. But, you know, for Miami, buying in defensively that way, it's much like what Boston did last year that got them to the finals. But unfortunately for Boston, they couldn't duplicate that again this year. But it's a tough matchup for Miami. Mm-hmm. But they are hot right now. They are on their way to Denver or in Denver right now. And so it's going to be fascinating, though, to see how this series shakes out.
Also, a lot of people I saw on social media were giving the Miami Heat grief for having the flights and everything scheduled to already go to Denver.
Right.
But as the travel managers, for anybody that has worked around a professional team, like, those people would be fired if they didn't have those booked already. Have to be prepared, have the hotel rooms and all of those things ready on the off chance. And in this, I mean, a 3% chance that ESPN gave them ahead of the series to be in that position. But that's normal. That's not something that's unique for this situation. Right. So no grief to Miami. But hey, even if they were calling their shot, which they weren't, they end up living up to the billing anyways. 103-84, the final. Boston's 84 points, their fewest in a game all season long. They opened this thing 0-for-12 from 3-point range, finished 9-of-42 for the game, 21.4%. So they follow up their worst 3-point shooting percentage game in game six.
Right.
With their second worst of the season in game seven. And it didn't help that Jason Tatum injures his ankle first play of the game. He even said that he felt like a shell of himself throughout the course of the game, not making excuses, but certainly a reason why you didn't see the same type of a caliber performance out of Jason Tatum that you would. But in this situation, you would expect a guy like Jaylen Brown then to elevate his game. And instead, he has a career high 8 turnovers in the biggest game of his career.
Yeah, and that's what superstars are supposed to do. I mean, if you want to call him a superstar, right? I mean, certainly Tatum is probably a guy that you would call a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, certainly he's worthy of that. Brown, he's teetering, I think. It didn't start well.
Well, he's about to get that supermax, right?
Right.
So you should elevate your game a little bit here, buddy.
It didn't start that well for him. You know, the trade rumors and all that. You get over that. It's the playoffs. I mean, that's so in a distant past. But yeah, you would love to have seen him step up. We did see D. White step up. See you, Buff. Yep. Go Buffs right there. D. White. Smart, you know, he's supposed to step up defensively. Not really Horford, man. He had a quiet series too. Mm-hmm. And so I just think Miami had so many options for this Celtics team. I mean, the Celtics are very, very talented, we know, but they're frontline talented too, right? I mean, how much depth are they talented with compared to the comfort and confidence level that Miami had all series long? And so to me, it played out that way. It's impossible. It has been impossible to win 4 games in a row in the NBA too. So you had that. If you bet the Miami Heat, you were going against that. If you're the Celtics not playing well in the playoffs at home either. So many things that when you dial it back and dissect it all, really it was a simple bet, I think, for a lot of people that were on the side of the Heat.
Another big topic of conversation coming out of this game was the Eastern Conference Final MVP honor going to Jimmy Butler. And a lot of people, especially at this network, had Caleb Martin tickets.
Right.
I think it is clear that in terms of consistency, in terms of efficiency, being a catalyst for the Miami Heat ultimately to win the series and win game seven, Caleb Martin was that guy. Mm-hmm. I love the tweet from our guy Mitch Moss last night. Quote, "I'm speechless. Sheep. Every last one of them. Any human being with a brain knows Caleb Martin was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Disgusting. There were 9 voters. Yeah. The final vote was 5-4 in favor of Butler over Martin. Butler voters, by the way, included both Reggie Miller, who on the broadcast said Caleb Martin should be the MVP.
Right.
He votes for Butler.
Right.
And ESPN's Tim Bontemps, who said in a Game 6 reaction podcast with Brian Windhorst that had the Heat won that game, he would have voted for Caleb Martin. I don't know what could have changed in Game 7, considering that, like, he had 2 points fewer than Jimmy Butler, but on 11 of 16 from the floor and 4 of 6 from 3 compared to Butler's 12 of 28 from the floor. He had 3 more rebounds as well. I talk about those runs in the game and him being a catalyst for the offense. It was more rare for him to have a miss than a make. Like, you would just expect him to perform on the stage, or an incredible story. But what did you think of the voting results, and how would you compare it in general here?
Well, I mean, there's so many layers, right?
I mean,
look at this. I'm glad they got outed, to be honest with you, that way. And so look, and the fact that you're going to say one thing and do something different.
It's crazy.
I
just love Mitch, though.
But I know. Sheep. He wanted to say something else. You know he did. I think it's fascinating because media or people like that who vote, the narrative, I mean, people are going to say it's a narrative award, which it is, but it's also a lazy award. It's a lazy assumption award. It's not really thought out, I don't think. I mean, I think some people probably take pride in it, and you can look at the voting and understand that. But if you're going to say one thing and do something different, then you're not really giving it serious thought, Reggie Miller. And you know, that's shouldn't happen. It really shouldn't happen. I mean, I think back to my own experience. So, for instance, I was the MVP of the national championship team, right? But was I the best player? No, Eric Bieniemy was a Heisman Trophy finalist. You know, we had Alfred Williams, who was a Butkus Award winner. But I was the most valuable player on the team. In other words, are we going to win a championship without me? And the consensus was no. But with Caleb Martin, I mean, are they going to win this series without him? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say that with Jimmy Butler, too. Are they going to win it without Jimmy Butler? Probably not. But I think the impact was more felt from Martin. And if you did some work on that, if you didn't use lazy analysis or a lazy narrative there, then you can come to that conclusion as well.
And Butler is a dynamic performer. We know that. Like, he is the heart and soul of the team in a lot of ways, right? But the thing, like, Caleb Martin got better every single game and is not expected to perform at the level that he did. He's a quote-unquote role player. Jimmy Butler has high expectations and had two duds of games in this series, by the way.
Right.
But diving deeper into Martin's numbers, he had 135 points in the series, the most points in a conference or NBA finals by an undrafted player in the modern basketball era, so dating back to the 60s. He averaged nearly 20 points on 60% shooting throughout this series. Like I said, got better every game. He's also the first player in Heat history to have 100 points on 60% shooting from the field and 45% on three in a single playoff series. So, like, a lot of the things that he did, just showing how remarkable it is for anybody in Heat history, let alone somebody who, I mean, was undrafted to the Charlotte Hornets, waived by them, and then ends up getting picked up and being a critical piece to this Miami Heat team making it to the NBA Finals. We'll push this forward a little bit, give you the numbers on the series with the Denver Nuggets coming up next, as well as my reaction to the Vegas Golden Knights securing their spot in the Stanley Cup Final. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're just getting started.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. Open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. The Lombardi Line today. Coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. In for Michael Lombardi, like he is every Tuesday. Mike Pritchard on the desk with us, former NFL wide receiver, national championship in college football with the CU Buffs. And we're talking a little hoops, pushing it forward, because you are, I said, Colorado.
Yep.
You are a Denver guy.
I am.
And now the Denver Nuggets will be hosting the Miami Heat in game one and have home court throughout the course of the NBA Finals. They are a big favorite in this one and very, very well rested as well, coming off of game one, coming off of game seven.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I got to say this. Shout out to Romy Bean. She's a news anchor, a sports anchor out there in Denver. And she had a tweet that brought back some memories for me. You know, the Denver Broncos won their second Super Bowl in Miami. The Avs won a Stanley Cup in Miami, and the CU Buffs won championship in Miami. And so now the karma is like,
very cool.
Can they beat the Miami Heat for their first NBA championship? So Denver works that way too, by the way. Denver works that way, and it's crazy to think about, but it could come true. Who knows? I am biased. I think the Denver Nuggets are just a phenomenal basketball team. I think they have a ton of options. But it goes back to, okay, who's going to be comfortable on the floor the quickest to me in this series? So, or, you know, who's going to establish that? I think back to what the Nuggets did to the Lakers. They made them uncomfortable out the gate because the Lakers had to play from behind. And we saw the Lakers have problems trying to get or trying to have answers or try to come up with solutions all throughout that series against the Nuggets, whereas the Nuggets were completely comfortable with what they were doing and how they were operating. So, with versatility on both sides, on both ends of the court with both of these teams, it's intriguing to me, Stormy. I don't know how difficult it's going to be. I'm entertaining some of these odds with the Denver Nuggets. Six games is plus 400. Mm-hmm. Certainly looking at that situation, seven games if they stretch it out, plus 300 for the Nuggets. So I don't know. I don't know where I want to go with it yet, but I am on the side of the Nuggets. I think they should take care of business and win their first NBA championship.
A $4 favorite flat out just to win the series. The Nuggets on the series spread, so to win in six or better, is a minus 140, minus 150 number, depending on the sports book. So that's an interesting angle as well. The Nuggets have largely rolled through this postseason. When you look at just the few number of games that it's taken for them to get to this point, they're 12-3 straight up, 9-6 against the spread throughout those 15 games. And I was reading the daily email that we have here at BSN, JVT put together just a short little blurb getting people excited and some basic information for this series. And he said, through those 15 games, they've outscored their opponents by a league high 9.2 points per 100 possessions in non-garbage time, which is significant. Yeah. And it's really interesting to think about the different roads that the Nuggets and Heat have had to get here too. The Nuggets are going to face teams, have faced teams with a combined seeds of 27 this postseason, which is the highest in a single postseason since seeding began in 84. Meanwhile, the Heat had to go through the Bucks and Celtics, who were the 1 and 2 seeds in the postseason. So it's just an interesting perspective here. Do you think anybody can slow down Nikola Jokic on this Miami Heat?
No, I mean, nobody's been able to slow this guy down. I mean, the Joker is a Joker, and it doesn't matter. I mean, he's a triple-double machine. So even if you limit him scoring, and if he gets to double digits, okay, now he's hurting you with rebounds and assists, right? He's a point center, too. You know, maybe that could cause problems if Miami wants to zone up some situations. Now, Michael Porter Jr. is going to have to step up. He's going to have to knock down shots. We know Jamal Murray is going to have to stay hot. You can make an argument that he could have been a conference finals MVP too. And then, you know, the role players, you know, how comfortable are they? I think Miami has an edge. And I think coaching, Miami has an edge with coaching too, but the Joker is the Joker. I wouldn't say wild card. He's a Joker, right? I mean, how do you make him frustrated if you can? How does he have a bad game if that's possible? And I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, an off night here or there, and then, okay, Miami can take advantage of that, which that extends the series to about six games, maybe seven. But if the Joker is truly the Joker and he's operating, then, I mean, it's going to be difficult for Miami.
You call him a triple-double machine this postseason. He's averaging 29.9 points, 13.5 boards, and 10.3 assists per game so far.
Yeah.
So much so that he's minus 125 to average a triple-double in the NBA Finals.
I think I'm going to bet that, too. I mean, I know it's minus 125, but I might have to bet that. I mean, that's incredible.
Coming up after the show, by the way, instead of best bets, which is normally in the place, we're going to have a live edition of Hardwood Handicapper. So our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, who I just referenced, as well as Kedley Bidlin, are going to do a full hour just breaking down all things NBA conference final and NBA finals. So get you all set up with everything you need to know for that series. Let's turn our attention, though, to the NHL.
Because
last night, the Vegas Golden Knights absolutely rout the Dallas Stars 6-0. The Stars get their captain and Jamie Benn back after being suspended the previous two games. Those end up being the only games that Dallas wins in this series are without Jamie Benn out there on the ice. An incredible team win for the Golden Knights. You had scoring come from your star power players, as well as the guys that you don't expect to show up. Will Carrier gets the scoring started in the first period. By the way, first period overs hit yet again. That one came through just 10 minutes into the first period of this game. But a huge win for the Vegas Golden Knights. And now they similarly are facing the team from South Florida and the Florida Panthers.
How about that? I know. There you go. But, you know, going back to the game against Dallas, one thing that just stood out to me, to use a football term, the Knights, they just blitzed the Stars. I mean, it's like the Stars were overwhelmed, which should have been the case anyway. You know, you go back to series playoff hockey here, and Oettinger not comfortable when he's pressure, you know, when there's a pressure applied to him. So I think from a goalie situation, what the Knights have done for me, and we'll get into this a little bit, I know, but because your history with the Knights, you know, are goalies irrelevant for what the Knights want to do? You know, I think they have a tendency to make that the case, whether it's their own goalie or the opposing team's goalie. And that bodes well for them. I mean, certainly you want to jam them up if you can, eliminate some of the things that like the Knights want to do, Ozan rushes and all that stuff. But it's like they find a way to pressure a goalie or pressure the defensive zone. And so to me, that that is something to look, really look at when it comes to the Knights this year.
Yeah, and something that has just been different from them historically.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when they have gotten to the Western Conference Final previously, it felt like the goals have dried up, the production was gone, they run into a hot goalie, it's one or the other. And this season has just felt different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I also go back to, like, I've never been a fan of the way that the Golden Knights management has handled a lot of the situations with personnel and with firing coaches when they haven't necessarily deserved it. Like Gerard Gallant, when he was let go, I know that they were going through a rough patch at that time, mm-hmm. but they were still a very dominant team throughout the course of the season. Same thing with Pete DeBoer. I don't think he necessarily deserved to be let go after a season where the Golden Knights were absolutely riddled with injuries.
Yeah.
And it was hard to overcome. But what they have done to gather pieces for this offense, to secure Jack Eichel and allow him to get the surgery he needs to be. He has mm-hmm. been, he didn't score a goal in this series, yeah. but he was a critical facilitator in pressuring goalies and pressuring Jake Oettinger and putting shots on net consistently and being an assist man and getting Mark Stone, who's the first captain in Golden Knights history, and he's healthy producing in the postseason, and Alex Pietrangelo on the back end. Mm-hmm. Like, they went out and they got all of these different pieces. And now combining them with some of those original misfit guys like Jonathan Marchessault, who's really elevated his game here these last couple of series, and William Karlsson, who has two goals last night, you put all of this together, and things are just really, really working for them. So I'm interested to see how they're going to stack up with the Florida Panthers and if Sergei Bobrovsky can continue to be as dynamic as he's been right. in net this postseason, because this is not regular season Bobrovsky.
No.
He's like doing his best Andre Vasilevsky from the last 3 years. Like, it's crazy.
Well, pressure can yield open opportunities. Yeah. And I think that's the philosophy for the Knights right now. And pressure also from the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just listed that it was unfair that some of these guys were let go or the changes were throughout the roster, but it goes from the very top. Mm-hmm. And the message from the start of this expansion franchise is that we want to win the Stanley Cup.
What did Bill Foley say?
Within 6 years. And what year is this?
Unbelievable.
This is year six.
Unbelievable.
So is this, is this 6 year plan precise or what? That they're right back in the Stanley Cup finals with an opportunity to finally have the cup. And so
people laughed at that. And how could you not? It's an expansion franchise, low
right.
expectations. I mean, they were called the Misfits for a reason that
yep.
first year. And they go out and do this, and it really is. It's they go to the cup final, their first year in existence, end up losing to the Washington Capitals in five. But now back in this position with probably the best roster that they've ever had.
Yeah.
In net, though, you've got a fourth-string goaltender, and somehow he stood on his head. He has two shutouts here in the playoffs. Aiden Hill has been great. So we'll see if he's able to carry it on. The Vegas Golden Knights, minus 130 favorite in the series. Panthers available at plus 110. We've got some NFL news and notes to get to coming up here next, but plenty more NBA and NHL throughout the course of the next hour and a half.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now for just $9.99. You'll get access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures. You get premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tips like the exclusive betting splits showing you where the money, public and sharp, is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. And sign up now. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Pritch, it's been in the headlines a lot this week with the Las Vegas Raiders, everything that was going on behind closed doors with the Jimmy Garoppolo contract. He has his initial press conference postponed a little bit briefly. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, nothing to worry about. But then we find out a little bit later that Jimmy G did ultimately have to have surgery on that foot that he injured late last season that kept him out of the 49ers run to an NFC championship appearance. And now weaved into that contract, some of those details are coming out about what was changed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Raiders did a very smart thing on their end. And Jimmy Garoppolo now kind of betting on himself that he can essentially just be cut without penalty
right.
if he re-injures that ankle.
Well, a smart thing after doing maybe a foolish thing because, you know, you move on from Derek Carr because you had designs and hopes that Jimmy G would come in and help your system. And I want to emphasize system here because that's what the Raiders are all about. They are New England West. Offensively, it's about system. more so than players. That's why Jimmy G is here. And therefore, you wonder if that's going to work because Jimmy G needs to stay healthy. Jimmy G is not healthy. Jimmy G needed surgery. I think he failed a physical, and therefore, okay, right. we got to change this contract language here. But when you're system-oriented, like the Las Vegas Raiders are now under Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, then what's going to happen when that system malfunctions, when a piece malfunctions, when a piece is not working? Are you going to find a substitute piece that's going to be just as good, or are you just going to stick it in there and hope that it works, right? So the Raiders are operating as if they're a machine, defensively too, with Graham. Now, I think they're athletic enough and good enough with some personnel up front that maybe they can overcome being system-oriented. But when you're system-oriented, and I know it worked. It worked with the ultimate piece in Tom Brady out there in New England. But you don't have that. Or do they? that's another discussion, right? So this Jimmy G thing is interesting. It's going to make the Raiders very, very interesting this entire offseason. Because the Josh Jacobs thing, they got to sign him. I can't believe he's up for debate in terms of whether you're going to extend him or not. He's AP All-Pro NFL rushing leader. I mean, how do you not sign that guy, right? You got Devontae Adams, and you know you got a number of pieces that this roster could probably be competitive if the quarterback is ready to go. And so we'll see what the Raiders do. We'll see what develops in offseason. We'll see if Jimmy G can get healthy. This is a guy who's often injured. Yep. And Stormy, when you're injured that many times or this many times, it's harder and harder each and every year to stay healthy, let alone get healthy in the first place.
And that's been the knock against him throughout the course of his career as a starter in the NFL. The past three seasons, he's missed 18 games right. over that span, which can't be ignored. The lone season that he had in full was that 2019 year where he led the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl. So when he is out there on the field, he gets the job done, and his win-loss record is another thing, in addition to his injury history, his win-loss record also can't be ignored. But what worries me about the Raiders is because of that injury history, not having a quarterback room behind him that sets you up for depth and success. Brian Hoyer, Aiden O'Connell, Chase Garbers, that's your answer behind him?
No, it's not an answer.
So that's my only issue. But again, I want to reiterate something that Michael Lombardi said on the show the last couple of weeks, is that this clause in the contract specifically is not like unique in NFL circles. What makes it unique is that it's a who you want to be your franchise quarterback now with the Las Vegas Raiders, and it's making headlines because it was kind of not talked about previously.
Well, it's also the injury. I mean, I don't know how much Michael's talked about it, but when you're talking about a foot, I mean, all your weight is on the foot, and your footwork in the pocket is important. And so what's the chances of that foot staying healthy, a surgically repaired foot? I mean, it's no different than, you know, a knee or something like that, or, you know, a shoulder or an elbow or whatever, something that's so pivotal for that position. And I think your footwork in the pocket, certainly Jimmy G operating for 17 grueling games as the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, that is a level of concern because I think that foot, even if it's 100% by the time training camp starts and begins, the wear and tear on that surgically repaired foot, I mean, I think that's going to be a question mark all year.
Win total 7.5. Do you have a lean one way or another?
Well, I was leaning over before he failed his physical.
Well, they still say that he's going to be ready and back on the field around training camp.
I know, but I just, he has to battle back from injury history of a leg or a knee, you know, whatever else. I have to look it up. Everything that's
it's now in question. There's a thumb. It goes back.
Right. So shoulder. Now any type of compromise situation for Jimmy G, you're looking at Hoyer as your quarterback.
Not ideal. Not ideal. Another headline I wanted to discuss with you, especially being that we are a betting network, is there was a report a week ago that came out saying that the NFL has additional investigations ongoing about violations to the league gambling policy. And no information has really come out since then. We don't know if, I mean, please don't be the Lions again, because we've had enough going on with that organization behind the scenes when it comes to the gambling policy. But then Jameson Williams, he spoke to media for the first time. He was the most notable name in Detroit's organization that had to suffer a suspension. He's going to miss 6 games this year because of it. But he said that he wasn't really aware of the NFL gambling policy. And he wasn't betting on NFL games. He was flagged for placing sports bets from the facility.
Right.
And so How is it not known is what I want to know. Like, why are there not signs up everywhere at this point? Because they know that the league is paying so much attention to this, because whether it's real or it's not, integrity of the game is so important for them from a brand perspective, because they have these relationships with sportsbooks.
Yeah, I mean, as a player, you should know that the shield is more important than anything else. The integrity of the game aspect of the National Football League is beyond anything else that the National Football League wants you to have at the utmost importance. And that certainly is understanding that. And as a player, when I was a player, there was signs everywhere that it's illegal to gamble. And that was on anything when I was a player. I mean, they would scare the you-know-what out of you.
Well, I remember you telling me even post your NFL career, you had like a lot of hesitancy about gambling, period. Because, and I mean, look at what you do now. So it's, you know, things have changed.
Well, they're partners now.
But like even being somebody that's part of that fraternity, being out of the league as a player, it was something that still stuck with you.
I wasn't comfortable until the Raiders were here in Vegas about gambling, and knowing that the National Football League has partnered up with sports betting. So I think more education is needed, certainly for players. Awareness, most importantly, is needed. And what I mean by awareness, so I don't know if you know this about me. I'm an economist, right? I went to school, study economics at CU. And it's all about revenue sharing. Like if you were a player in the National Football League, if you understand that you get 49% of the revenue generated by the National Football League, why would you gamble? I mean, that's salary cap, that's your salary, that's bonuses, that's benefits, that's everything. And then, you know, when you think about all revenue, here it is, right here in the CBA, everything related to, you know, everything football related in three general categories: television, broadcast, sponsorships, and local revenues. That's tickets, that's concessions, that's sports betting because of partnerships. And so you're crushing yourself as an NFL player if you are entertaining gambling on anything. And I mean, even if you are away from the facility, just pump the brakes and do it when you retire, because you're still going to benefit from the revenue generated as a retired football player like I am right now. But then as a current player, you're not going to jeopardize your contract situation anyway. So it's just awareness. Look at the CBA. Just understand it. Or, you know what? In 10 years, I'll bet. I don't need to bet right now.
I just, the thing that I struggle with from the player's perspective is, and I understand like Jameson Williams, for example, he's a younger player. He just came in the league in 2022. So maybe he's not as up to everything that you should be, but they have not classes, but they go through and make sure you know the important stuff that you need to know. I remember like even being a team reporter for the Carolina Panthers for a time, I was like a digital reporter, but because I was employed by the team, I had very, very similar rules that the team does. Like I can't bet at the facility. I can't bet on the NFL, you know, things like that. So I feel like if I was aware of it as somebody who's just like a general employee, the people who are like who make the game what it is and are your actual players and coaches and staffers and football operations people, they should be the most in the know of anybody. So it's odd to me that the education, like you don't feel is up to par where it should be for them to be as knowledgeable as they should be.
I think they should drive it home. Because
just keep pressing it.
It's just like another rep. You do thousands and thousands of reps of the same thing. It's like, okay, you just got to drive it home to these guys because, you know, let's face it, the awareness of it. And I think they're educated. They know it. I know the NFL gets out in front of it and they certainly inform the players. But do they drive it home? Obviously, you would think it would be driven home because of Calvin Ridley and others.
Well, and they did set an example of Calvin Ridley. And I think it's good that the Lions almost are setting another example of it's not just the NFL. There's other things as well as it pertains to the facility. We have to step aside, take a quick break. Will Hill coming up next. I hope he's not too mad at me.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a same game parlay of four legs or more, and you get a bonus bet up to $25 back, even if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet, even if one leg of your same game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to please play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer only. All promotions are subject to qualification, eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Rolling along here on the Lombardi Line as we get back to our NBA conversation, bring in Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, VSiN contributor who came on this very program not too long ago and made a bold statement that the Boston Celtics would become the first team in NBA history to come all the way back from down 3-0. Will, you were so close, my friend, and I was sitting here feeling terrible about myself daily. But did you ever feel like the Celtics were going to get back in it last night, though? How did you feel watching the game last night?
I didn't watch. Did they play game 7 yet? What happened? I'm not sure. I didn't see it.
It was close, though. Seriously, such a good call. Good on you.
Yeah, I mean, I put myself in a position where I could bet on Miami. I actually, once it got to 3-1, I took Miami plus the points in games 5, 6, and 7. So was able to profit off of it. And honestly, last night, and this is just, I'm a hedger, especially when I have a chance at a middle, for better or worse, a lot of times worse. I sat there before the game and said, why did I hedge this? Boston is going to kill this team. I don't know why I hedged here. I should have just wrote it out. And look, that's sports. Tatum rolls his ankle. Yep. Maybe if he plays, it's different. Maybe it's not. That was just an all-out impressive effort from Miami. Just hit a million threes. It's hard to believe. You look at some of the stats for Miami. I saw this stat. I forget where it was, but in an 82-game season, Miami had 3 games where they shot 50% or better from 3. In this series, they had 3 games where they shot 50% or better from 3. And look, if you're going to shoot as bad as Boston is from 3 and you're going to shoot as well as Miami is from 3, that's just how the game's going to go. Hat tip to Miami. That's a mentally tough team to just get punched in the gut the way they did Saturday night, sitting there 3-3, walking into, I thought, a buzzsaw last night to not only come out and win, but win and win going away, just dominate the game. Not a lot you can say. This is really one of the more really remarkable finalists in any sport. Since I've been watching sports, I can't think of a more unlikely team. When you go back, 6-7 weeks ago, it feels like these playoffs last for like a year, but you go back to the beginning of the playoffs, I don't know what you would have had to do to tell me Miami's going to be in the finals. I mean, they got their butts kicked by the Hawks, life and death with the Bulls, and you turn around a couple months later and they're in the finals. Never saw this coming. I really didn't.
You know, Will, question for you, because I'm curious, and I don't know if this is going to be a pro tip or not, but I have my
I'm note- writing it down. If
I have
it is,
my
I'm
notepad
ready.
Every time Will Hill's on a program, because you had that position, the futures situation with Boston, if you will, down 0-3. But yet you were able to monetize on the other side. Like, having a position like that, does it bring clarity for you in terms of a better and saying, okay, this is what I want to do to try to monetize the situation, knowing that I already have a position? Like, for instance, for me, like if I own, McDonald's or whatever as a stock, right? I'm going to sell calls and collect income as I hold this stock long term. I have a position on it, but I want to earn money. I want to monetize that situation. I mean, do you feel like betting is similar to that?
It is, and there's lots of different theories on it, and I don't know that there's a right answer. A lot of people would look at it the other way and say, hey, you know what? You bet a little bit of money to win a good chunk. It's not life-changing money. Just ride it out. You were in good position last night, and a lot of times, you know what? You're going to end up ahead more than anything, so there is no right answer. I'm sure if Boston won, I'd be kicking myself for hedging, saying, oh, I knew Boston was going to win, so it's sort of that, it's that mental battle you play as a bettor where – there is no right answer. To me, it was a good shot in the middle. I thought Boston could have won a close game. Then I would have won my bet with Miami plus the points and won my series bet. I was able to make a little. There is something unsatisfying about winning a hedge, though. I was more attached to the original bet, so it was a very empty feeling. And was hoping for a good game where he could have just gotten both in the middle, but Miami just ran him out of the building.
That's very relatable and makes me think back to San Diego State's run to the national championship, my 70-1 ticket, right. And I just knew better. Like, you don't want to. Yeah. But you kind of have to sometimes put yourself in those positions to hedge or monetize. I like the way that you put that. But at the end of the day, you're the individual, and everybody has to make that decision for themselves and their own bankroll and what they want to do.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is I had both UConn and SDSU, though. So it's like I watched the championship.
Rub it in.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I was so comfortable in that situation. Now, albeit it could have been luck, I did have 3 of the Final 4, though, from a futures position. So That's all I'm trying to get to. In terms
I'm here
of
with a couple geniuses. We got Will Hill, who had FAU. We got, yeah, I can't do this.
I was just going to bring up FAU because FAU is another one where I did hedge. And you know what? I'm happy they won. I won some money, but it's like, man, I should have just wrote it out. I felt good about it. I could have waited till halftime because I remember they were up 4 at half and Kansas State won the second half on the money line. So you start to play that game with yourself where it's like Florida Atlantic's up 5 or 6. Man, I could have had K-State plus the points and you won both of them. So there is no right answer. You just got to do what feels right and kind of take all things into account.
Yeah.
Here with VSiN Pro contributor Will Hill at @NotTheWillHill on Twitter. Let's keep it going here with the NBA, though, as we push this series forward. The Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets now are going to go head-to-head in the NBA Finals beginning on Thursday in Denver. And Denver's a massive favorite, $4 just to win the series outright. But I know you like Denver already. So is there an alternate way that you can kind of try to bring down this juice and approach this series? Do you like the series spreads, -1.5, -2.5, anything like that, knowing that the Heat are still going to give their best effort and they're one of the grittiest squads that we've seen in the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought Denver -1.5. I think you still get it -150 at DraftKings. It opened -130. Sometimes you get the best bet right away. To me, this just feels like Denver gets both of them at home. They find a way to get a split in Miami, and they close it in 5. I know, look, I thought, like everybody, I've been wrong about Miami plenty of times, so maybe take that for what it's worth. But to me, this is a different animal. This is a rested Denver team. This is a good matchup. They've had time to sit here, and you know, they don't have to travel. They don't have to get on a flight to Boston. They can just wait for Miami to come to them. And Miami's sort of a bruised, battered fighter that's going to walk into Denver Thursday. That's a really tough spot. And if Denver gets up 1-0, well, they're going to be favored in game 2. And Denver can take a stranglehold on this series. Miami really hasn't had to play from behind in any of these series. So I like Denver in the series. I think laying 1.5 is a good price. I do think Denver holds up the trophy here, and Jokic gets his due, I think.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there, Will. I mean, from a player prop standpoint, too, I mean, the matchups galore all over the place on both sides, really. I mean, you can play both sides in terms of situations with player props. Anything standing out to you right now?
Yeah, and this is part of the reason I like Denver in the series. I think Denver has a really good matchup for Butler. I think Aaron Gordon, his size, his length, his strength, is really going to give Butler some issues. So I like Butler under 27.5 points, and it's a reason why I like Denver is you have an answer for Butler, and Butler, we've seen him not be efficient these past 3 or 4 games. He's taken a lot of shots. He hasn't scored as much. He's going to go in there Thursday, probably a little tired. So if this is like a 16-point game, end of the third quarter, we saw this in game 5 against the Celtics where Miami just sort of waved the white flag. So I could see a scenario similar Thursday. So I like Butler under points. And I just think Gordon will do a good job on him. I think he's got the physical profile to do a good job. And remember, Gordon played in the Eastern Conference in that same division with Butler for a while when he was with the Orlando Magic. I think it's in the Southeast Division. Nobody really knows the divisions in the NBA. But if you're familiar with Butler, it helps because so much of Butler is his trickery. He uses the pump fakes, the shot fakes. He gets you in the air, and he gets you to commit, and he gets to the foul line. I think Gordon is going to be prepped for that. So to me, Butler under 27.5 points is a good bet. And the other side of it, Jamal Murray over 25.5 points, I think is a good bet. You start to scan the roster for the Heat. There's not a lot of long athletic defenders on that Miami roster. You know, Gabe Vincent is only 6'1". He's not going to really bother Murray's shot. Duncan Robinson, if he's on the floor, you can go at him and get him in pick and rolls. He doesn't have the athleticism to stop Murray. So all around the board, I think this is a good matchup for Denver with the rest advantage, with the matchups. Once Tatum rolled his ankle, Denver was the big winner last night, because even if Boston won, Boston's going to go limping into Denver. Mm-hmm. Either way, you're getting a tired fighter that just went 12 rounds. So I think Denver's in good shape here, but Murray over points, Butler under points in game 1, I think are good looks here.
Yeah, and Denver, very different type of an offense than we saw from the Boston Celtics. Plus, we know how much they were able to tear up any time zone was played on them throughout the course of the regular season. Jamal Murray, by the way, averages 8.5 more points in the postseason compared to his regular season play. So he definitely steps his game up. Last 45 seconds here. I know you're always keeping up with MLB. Got any daily plays for us today?
Arizona Diamondbacks team total over 4.5. The roof is going to be open in Arizona, which it usually isn't. That ball is going to be flying all over the place. They score a ton of runs to begin with. So Arizona Diamondbacks team total over 4.5 runs, Major League Baseball.
D-backs today. Love all it. Right. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. See you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Still, what a, like, for him in that moment, so confident last week, too. Oh,
he was.
But, I mean, a great call.
Great call.
They rallied back to reel off 3 games and force a game 7 when it seemed like they were lost for dead after getting blown out in game 3. So, really, really impressive stuff. Love Will. We'll see how things shake out ultimately in the NBA Finals. That, again, beginning this Thursday. We got to take a quick break. Hour two on the other side is Hot Take Tuesday.